Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. People have responded to the pandemic and the pressures of the pandemic in different ways, and some of those coping behaviors can be a bit, shall we say, maladaptive. Are there ways to redirect ourselves and make this experience more meaningful? Kaya Ansorge is an adjunct instructor in counseling and psychological education at the University of South Dakota, and she's joining us today with insight. Kaya, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
I'm so pleased to be here, Lori. It's so good to talk with you again.
Yeah, it is good to talk with you. And Jackie Hendry, I was telling people today, if people haven't listened to the feature she did with you about journaling, you know, it's just a good thing to go back to and spend some time with. And we're happy that you're spending some time with us today, too. So sometimes one story you never forget. Let's talk about this pandemic. And 2020, what are some of the things that you're seeing people struggling with when it comes to adapting to this? What are you seeing?
Yes. Well, some of the things that I have seen the most are, one is, of course, we're getting really hooked into screen time. And that's one that we're trying to sort of escape our reality. We're not used to having to slow down. So let me back up a little bit. I think one of the things that's really interesting about this period in time, it is so historic and we'll always remember it. So it's really important for all of us to think about how we want to spend this time, because we're going to remember this. This is sort of a time out from our lives in a way. And it's so set aside that we'll always remember it. So we need to think carefully about how we want to fill that space. The other thing that happens is that we're not used to slowing down. Since the Industrial Revolution, we have been, and probably before that, but we humans are sort of programmed to sort of work harder, work faster. We're clued into efficiency and keeping going. And all of a sudden, we're stopped midair, and we feel like we'll just fall into the abyss. So a lot of times we respond to that by feeling anxious or depressed, another kind of two different response. We also have sort of some of us have a very frenzied approach. That's sort of in the anxiety end of the spectrum. And how we respond is sort of, each one of us has sort of a go-to. We all have a go-to of how we respond to stressors. But some of the things we do is we try to fill that space. So we might be shopping online too much. We might overindulge in screen time. We might get really crazy about what's happening in our own home space and start to go at each other in the home. We might try to fill this in other sort of maladaptive ways. Hmm. And so I think that one of the things we have to do is find some practices to get us out of that.
Yeah. And when do you know, because when we started this, and I still hear people say this today, where, at some point you're like, this is the best I can do. I understand I'm lying on the couch and I'm playing solitaire on my phone. That is me being my best self right now. And that's okay. Uh-huh. We gave ourselves a lot of grace. But when do we know that, that this is kind of tipped into, hurting us a little bit? Like, it's okay to just, let the dishes pile up a little bit. At some point it becomes self-destructive behavior. Where do we draw that line between behavior that is bad for us and behavior that is just something you should just forgive and move on, because times are tough? Yeah.
Absolutely. That is a fabulous question, because that's a really delicate tipping point, because we also have these tapes that we're always supposed to keep going. It is okay to just lie down and relax. Part of it is that our entire culture and our entire world is sort of shifting right now. So lots of times right before a shift happens or while it's happening, we have to take breaks and we have to kind of rest our mind, because everything's changing so fast. I kind of think of it as the end of the semester. A lot of times you'll feel kind of fuzzy and confused, and then boom, it all snaps into place. And so as we are going through a transformation, that's kind of what, and our whole world is doing that. So we have been going forward in one kind of culture, but now we're all of a sudden moving into this technological world. We're using a lot of screens. So this is actually syncing up with that transition in a crazy way, because we're trying to figure out what our world is. So right now, humans are living one foot in the real world and one foot in this sort of collective dream that we're building digitally. And so it's something we're straddling that's really huge. So we are going to lie on the couch and be on our phones. And that's actually part of building the collective dream. So that's okay. But when is it bad? It is bad when it starts to feel bad. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So if you are doing that and it feels good, like, oh, thank goodness, I can just relax. And maybe you're even snuggling a loved one. That's what we're supposed to be doing right now. We're supposed to be healing and getting close to others and getting close to our own soul. But if it suddenly starts to feel like you're missing out on your life, then something's wrong.
Yeah, I wrote that down. It's bad when it starts to feel bad. And we've all felt that moment where we're like, oh, yuck. I don't like this. All right.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think I was really tuned into in months in the past, and I've lost a little bit lately, and I really want to get back to it, is this notion of joy or thriving. I've had real moments at home where I've been like, this is, I have clarity. I understand what's essential in a way that I didn't before. And then that sort of slips away. So I want to talk to you about taking this experience that we're living during the virus and turning it into a meaningful kind of period in our lives.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think that part of it is when it first started, we all had a little bit of a shot of adrenaline. We're going to take this and handle it, you know?
Yeah.
And then it just
I can do
on.
This. Yeah.
luckily, we are starting to see some vaccines that are looking hopeful on the horizon. So I think this is going to be a time when we can sort of get back up on the horse. And one of the ways to do that is one of the ways to reorient ourselves is through different forms of meditation, and different spiritual practices are really good at reorienting ourselves. Now, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about, we have just a few days left, a little over a week, I think, until Thanksgiving. And this is a particular time in our country to think about thankfulness. And that is one of the most powerful ways to step into that joy, thriving, essential self. It's a little different than some of the other meditation practices, but it's one that is available to everybody, whether they're secular or religious. It's not a religious holiday. It is a secular holiday, but it is a deeply spiritual holiday. And it's really about sheltering in place. So it's interesting because it's what we do in our homes. And how do we start to turn our view? Okay, so this is it's like remapping your brain. And I think that's really essential during this period, is that we have to have little adventures that we take in our brain because we're stuck. So as we take these little adventures, we have to kind of remap our brain. And one of them is thankfulness does this, because we are thinking that we can control our outside world. And as soon as we start practicing saying thank you, and we need to step into this really carefully, where it's very simple. You just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you can either pray it or you can use it as a mantra. And I'll get back to that in a second. But as we do that, it actually changes how we position ourselves in the universe. So when we think we have to get things done, like we're like, oh, I'm on the couch, I should be getting something done, that's always us grasping and struggling and trying to be or do something. This is totally different. It's like relax and receive. It doesn't mean we won't work. It means when we're doing the dishes, we're like, thank you to the dishes. Thank you for this moment of quiet in front of the dishes. Thank you for this moment of holding my child or my dog and just feeling its hair. Thank you for the sun in my face as I stand outside and I'm tilting my face to the sun. And as we step into that universe, we actually can experience love and joy and peace. Whenever we think we have to be being or doing, we can't actually experience it. We're always just creating the conditions And we get stuck in that cycle of trying to create the conditions for love, joy, and peace. But you can't relax into it because you've forgotten how. We've forgotten how. Right. Saying thank you helps us reopen ourselves to the possibility of even experiencing it, to feeling it.
Yeah. I want to ask you this, because many of us live in households with other people, and especially children. Do you have to tell other people, like, this is, I mean, how structured is effective to invite other people into, you know, a gratitude practice or a space of gratitude with you? Or is it enough to just stand at the sink and, you know, put your hands in that hot soapy water and just feel grateful, you know, for your grandmother's casserole dish that you're hand washing?
Yes.
Do you tell people about it? Do you stand, like, what are you thinking about inviting other people to sort of experience that with you? Do you?
You know, I think inviting other people is really tricky. Because we humans like to control other people, and especially when we're all in the same household day in and day out, that is tricky. And we all are on our own path. And just sort of like when you're cleaning up your stuff, if you start sorting other people's stuff, that's really invasive. Even if you're supposedly trying to make their life less cluttered, really we need to start with our own stuff. And that's true inside of our being as well. So when we experience thankfulness, it often will invite others, and it will sort of inspire that in others, but in a very subtle way. And we can't control others. But I find that when I do step into that world and I start releasing, so that means that I'm laughing more, and I'm when someone says something offensive, it makes me laugh instead of be offended that they hurt my feelings. That changes the whole mood of the house, doesn't it? So that actually shifts things hugely in a really, really efficient way, really quickly.
Right. Yeah. You wanted to say more about this word mantra. Tell us what that means.
Yes, I did. Yes. Okay. So when we're thinking about using thank you as a mantra, and that seems like kind of a fancy word, but you can also just think of it as a prayer. Why I'm using the word mantra is because it has the relationship to meditation, which is, yes, you're going to think other things and they're going to come into your mind and you're not going to feel thankful. But as soon as you notice that you're not feeling thankful and you're not saying thank you, you can notice that and then just gently set it aside and redirect your mind towards thankfulness. So as we are, even the mask, think of even, which is kind of crazy, but think of our mask that we're having to wear all the time that we're starting to get used to. It actually provides some anonymity, and it provides us the superpower of invisibility if we want it. So we can start to find ways to be thankful for all sorts of things.
And I'm giggling because I told people that in the beginning, and my sister works in a restaurant. Of course, she has to wear hers all the time while she's moving. So her mask wearing experience is like really different from mine. And I acknowledge that. Uh-huh. But immediately when we got the masks out, I was like, cool. They're pretty. It's an accessory. And I'm warm. And no one can see me. Yeah. And for some reason, it just was really something that I took to. And for her, it has just been an entirely different experience of not being able to breathe and having to work through it and trying to exercise through it. And people have had such a different experience with those masks and what they mean. But I think it's okay every once in a while to admit that a few of us like them and might be wearing them in the future. Not because of what they represent, just because they're warm.
They are warm. I know, especially as winter comes along, we're a lot more that way for sure. And, you know, it's interesting because I think that I've really noticed that younger people have an easier time adapting to them, even though they're having to wear them longer. So that actually gets them practice. But also they feel more naked without them. So there has been a different experience. For older people, we're more set in our ways, and it's often hard for us to adjust. In fact, I have a hard time with the cloth ones, which are much prettier. I have to use the surgical one still so that I can just make sure that I'm heard when I'm talking, when I'm teaching and things like that.
And again, it goes back to that gratitude that you said, because immediately I was able to feel gratitude for the privilege of, you know, not having to wear that 8 hours a day. I mean, these healthcare workers, essential workers who are in these masks, no matter how much you might like them or how cute they might be, nobody wants to wear it for a 12-hour shift.
That's right.
So there was moment of gratitude for the people who were willing to do that for me, which connected to me to, you know, what am I willing to do for them as well? So gratitude can be, it can open a door, it seems then, from a simple, I'm grateful for this mask, to I'm grateful to these people that I wasn't thinking about 2 seconds ago. And now suddenly, you know, I am. Is that a fairly standard thing to sort of happen when you practice some kind of gratitude? Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking a lot about during this period, how do we combine empathy and joy? Because it almost feels wrong to be happy sometimes when there's so much pain and suffering going around, going on around us. And that, of course, is the case we're always experiencing now because we have awareness of what's happening in the whole world. There's always pain and suffering, but it's amped up right now. But I think that what you just focused on in terms of that piece of gratitude and how it can extend us forward with empathy, but not in a way that requires us to stay in a down spot. It allows us to have empathy and to reach out and hold someone as they're hurting, but then to also enjoy the feeling of holding them. So that enjoying the embrace and enjoying having joy in feeling love with someone else. And I think that's where. You know, when a kid falls down and they hurt themselves, and we can either just say, you know, buck up, little guy. But if we don't, and we say, come here, little guy, and we put them on our lap and we hug them, and we can almost enjoy the experience of connecting through that suffering. And it doesn't mean that we don't care. It means that we actually truly empathize with that child.
Yeah.
But we're not. We're doing it through love.
I want to touch base on this notion of sort of political upheaval and turmoil in the sense that it relates to fear of the future. Because in some ways, like you said, that, you know, we're getting to the point where we can start letting ourselves imagine a vaccine or imagine an end, you know, to some of the restrictions. Like we can, depending on the day, we can see a light at the end of the tunnel and go, okay, you know, I'm feeling hope again. I'm feeling this might be different in the future. At the same time, we're still feeling this, you know, this cultural upheaval of the moment as we live through this history, which is terrifying or comforting, you know, depending on the day or, you know, your perspective. Let's talk a little bit about just building this life that is not completely driven by the engine of anxiety.
Yes. Well, it's a tricky balance. I think one of the things is to attend to the moment. Whenever we fully attend to the moment and not try to control for it, but reorient ourselves towards this position of thankfulness, we will find that we're probably okay in that very moment. You know, in 5 moments from now, we might not be okay. For instance, if you think about how many people right now, the people that are actually dealing with COVID in their home, they are actually in an emergency and their loved ones are in an emergency, depending especially on how sick they are. Mm-hmm. But even though we all are in this milieu of nervousness about infecting others and blah, 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 we are not actually actively in an emergency at this moment. So if we can allow ourselves to breathe in those moments, that's super important for the moment. But looking forward for the hope for the future. So now we do see a light at the tunnel, and it's both exciting and also a little menacing because we've gotten maybe more where we're kind of more used to being at home and sheltering in place. And what does that mean? What does that look like in the future? Part of what we have to realize is that we are in a position of creating now. We're sort of co-creators in the universe in a very big way right now. Whatever we want our culture to be, we can create it. Everything is on the table again now. And that's really interesting because there's people that have been working at home that find, you know what, I don't like working at home. I actually want to go work in the workplace. But there's others that are thinking, you know, I like it. I kind of like working at home, and I'd like to go live in a small town and work remotely. I think that's really exciting. There might be, if we allow ourselves to go ahead and be creative with this moment, there's going to be a whole range of choices that are exciting. And so we have to balance both that in the moment as well as looking towards the future. How are we going to create that hope? So one of the ways we created hope is we booked a trip for next summer.
Nice.
How are you creating hope?
Yeah. Well, and here's one of the things I think it's worth talking about is that is another transition. And I think for me right now, I'm not really thinking about next summer because good gravy, that's going to be a whole different set of, like, I can't even think about that. You know, my daughter's home for college. You know, once she can travel again, you know, she's doing all her college remotely from her bedroom. We've settled into this really nice life, you know, together here of mutual support. And if you start talking about, like, oh, she's going to go back to New York at some point, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to deal. Yeah. I mean, I know that's good for her and I'm dealing with that trans. So for some people, it's like, oh, there's another transition waiting for us ahead that can also feel
scary.
Even if it's a good transition, it's another change.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. Absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree. A lot of us have started to build some comfort in this life, in this way of living right now. And so all of a sudden we're thinking, okay, this is going to change. So we have to be aware that we are the ones that are in control of our life choices. And maybe we won't make the same kinds of life choices we would have made before this happened. And that's okay. That's part of what change is about. And I think, you know, my mom got cancer when I was in my 20s. And one of the things that was really powerful during that period was to realize that we could live, nobody was going to dictate the rules for us anymore. There were no shoulds. Every day was, we didn't know what was going to happen the next day and how long we were going to have with her. And it changed our relationship with her and it changed our relationships with ourselves in terms of how we were going to go forward in this life. And because I was at such a young stage. And I think this period is going to happen especially for the young people. It's going to absolutely change how they see the world. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Won't that be interesting when restrictions are lifted? And I know we're living in South Dakota where the very notion of restriction is, you know, means something different than it means somewhere else and in different towns. But just this idea, you know, of when we come out of restriction, what will we think the rules are? And that's kind of worth showing up to see. All right, Kaya, this has been, you know, so I think warm and friendly for a lot of listeners who maybe just need a little break from trying to fix all the world's problems and keep their families safe at the same time. So thank you for this. Thank you for this time. And we will definitely reach out to you again for more. Thanks, Kaya.
Thank you so much, and blessings to you during this crazy time and transitional time. Thank you.